See, if you go, I can go. Well, man, what a marvelous video. You never know in life what's going to hit you. You don't ever know how low life's going to bring you down. But when you reach out, and you reach out to Jesus, He will take you, lift you up, and you will become a miracle. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And really, if you look around here, there's, I don't know how many miracles are just even in this room. All right, every one of us on some level is a miracle.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to pick on him just for a second, just because you guys haven't seen him since we found out some really great news. My father-in-law's had a rough couple, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've been married 50, so he's had a rough 50 years. Okay? But the last 5's been pretty tough on him, cancer-wise. But now you're looking at a miracle. As we speak, he's cancer-free. For me is you need to pray for me, because now you're getting back to normal. Mean man. Alright?
Oh, no.
So don't you take up for him.
No.
In this church we take up for the preacher. Alright? Understand that. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about what we're going to get into today. Last week we finished up with looking at exactly what's going to happen at the rapture of the church. What an exciting time. It's any day. Can happen any day. All the ducks in a row. Everything's been prophesied. Around the world is set for the rapture of the church. We talked about this in detail last week. How exciting that is for those of us who are ready. We got a church full of people that are not ready. We got a world full of people that are not ready. And I said last week, and this phrase is used a lot, there are a lot of movies and books written about this, but the phrase is absolutely right. You do not want to be left behind when the trumpet sounds.
Amen.
You want to know Jesus, you want Him in your heart, you want to be saved, you want to know what all of that is about, because it's a difference literally between heaven and hell. You make the choice. I can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Nobody can make it for you. You have to make it yourself. Now, chapter 4 and chapter 5, we've been all over this just about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I did this verse by verse. I didn't skip over anything at that time. I'm not going to do that in this series, but just remember, chapter 4 talks about what a wonderful time we're going to have in heaven and all the singing and all the stuff's going to go on. Chapter 5 is the same way. But at the end of chapter 5, Jesus is going to introduce to us, and introduce it to John. He's going to write it down, that 7 years of some very terrible, terrible, terrible time is coming. We know it as the tribulation. Now, reminder one more time before I get into this. We will be in heaven celebrating, worshiping Jesus. Those who are left behind, those who did not accept Jesus Christ, those who were blinded by Satan, will be left behind. Now, we're going to talk over the next few weeks about this seven-year tribulation. Now, I'm not going to do again verse by verse and chapter by chapter, but you're going to get a real good insight of what this 7 years is going to be like. Now, the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about these seven seals in chapter 6. After that, we're going to talk about this 144,000. I've taught on this many, many times in almost 35 years, but we're going to talk about this 144,000 in the near future. The two witnesses, the mark of the beast. All of this stuff is coming to understand what it's going to be like during this seven-year tribulation. Again, I cannot stress this enough. If you've got open ears, listen to me. If you're watching me by internet, listen to me. can avoid all that we're going to talk about if you truly believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior during this moment, during this time when you're on this earth. Everybody give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright, here we go. This is our sort of theme while we're in the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. You read it, you hear it, you keep it. That's how you understand what the book of Revelation is all about. You understand that? You see what that's about? Okay. You read it, you hear it, and you keep it. You understand? Everybody said?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Chapter 6. Now, there are seven seals here. Seals like when you go to open up a gift. You like opening up gifts, don't you? You know, there's a ribbon on there usually. And let me tell you something. When my wife wrapped something, and I'll just go on to the next generation, because she was taught well. When my mother-in-law wrapped something, you would lose your religion trying to get it on. They invented tape. They invented ribbon. And they tape it. They put a ribbon around it because they want you to suffer until you open it up. Everybody understand that? Well, this is the picture. This is sort of like something that's gift wrapped, and you got a ribbon, and you got to loose the ribbon before you can see what's inside. That's the picture I want you to get. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with the voice of thunder. And I said this before, I've said it many times. Understand, whenever there's thunder or lightning, it's there to get your attention. Okay? Do we understand that? All right? If it thunders or lightning, it gets my attention. Right? Thunder's loud, lightning's dangerous, it gets our attention. So what he's saying here is, pay attention. It says, come. In other words, here's John. Here's the picture I want to see. Here's John. This is probably the creature or the angel looking over at a horse and saying, come here. God's going to sit here. This horse is going to come in front of him. It's going to be described. He's going to see it. Then he's going to write it down for us. So do you get the picture? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with the voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat thereon had a bow. And there was given unto him a crown. And he came forth conquering and to conquer. Understand. White horse. What's that mean? Everybody get to it. Father, bless these moments as we go into your word. May we truly understand, Father, what your word says. Father, this is very, very important that God's people understand exactly what's going to take place. Even though, Father, we're not going to be here, we've got family and friends that will be if they don't come to Jesus. Father, may we understand this enough that we can become the great witness for you. For, Father, these are some days that we would not even want our worst enemy to go through. May we understand your word. May it come alive on the page. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Now, understand, I'm jumping way, way ahead toward the end of Revelation. Understand, Jesus is coming on what kind of a horse? White horse. Keep that in mind. The Antichrist, he tries to take after Jesus on some level, but really he's just the opposite of Jesus. Now, I've taught this many times, and understand, this very first white horse talks about, chapter 6 is basically an outline for the next probably 7, 8, 10 chapters that talks about this tribulation. The first 3.5 years, we understand that I've taught you that this Antichrist is going to come looking like a pretty good guy. He's going to come across a little bit like a hero at first. He's not coming to destroy. He's coming to say, keep in mind what kind of condition this world's going to be in. Can you imagine when we take all the Christians out of here with the blink of an eye? What's going to happen around the world? Millions of us gone. Things are going to happen. Disasters are going to happen. Planes are going to crash. Cars are going to wreck. Buses are going to wreck. People are going to go in and see their loved ones gone in the bed. Things, this is going to be an absolute, for the people that's left behind, this is going to be a nightmare. They're going to be so scared, so confused. Believe me, Fox, CNN, whatever news you watch, this is going to be the headline of the day. Where did all of these people go? Now, there'll be some people saying we went to Mars. Martians come and got us. They're not going to come and get us. Who ever heard the like? I've seen some of you, they would kick us right back to earth. Why would they want us? But you know, they're going to come up with all kinds of some type of theory to what happened to all of these people. There has to be somebody to come forth and become a world leader. And he will come as of a white horse, as the hero at first. Everybody see the symbolism? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it had a bow. Now, you've heard me talk about this bow. Now, it's a bow, but there are no arrows. A bow by itself is not going to do much harm without the arrows to go in it. Does that make sense so far? If I've got a bow and I don't have the arrows, I'm not going to hurt you too much. All right? I've just got it in my hands. I'm ready to use it, but I'm not ready to use it yet. There is a time when the Antichrist is going to show his true colors. But not at first. And power is going to be given to him little by little by little by little around the world. And here's where I get this from. And there was given to him a crown. Crown. They want him to be the leader. He's going to have the answers to everything. He's going to have the answers on how we get organized, what we do. He's going to start, first of all, by calming people's fears. I've got this under control. Relax. Everything's going to be okay. All right? And he's going to come across in that way. And believe it or not, a lot of people are going to listen to him. And when it says they give him a crown, it basically is a symbolism that they're going to trust him. You with me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
They're going to trust him. Oh, look what happens. And he came forth conquering. I thought that was a mouse. Did you? I thought it was a mouse.
Oh, it's
Mabel.
Is
that Mabel?
No, that's Lightning.
Oh, Lightning McQueen. You know what? Let me say something here real quick. I know sometimes parents, grandparents, this drives them crazy. Let me tell you something. Your kids are welcome in here with me anytime. I don't care. I can talk over any child. I'm just thankful that they're here. I don't care what cars they can. All right, one exception. You get it? All right. You're welcome. All right. I really do. If it wasn't for children, you wouldn't have grandparents or parents here. So, thankful that wasn't a mouse. I'd have been a whole lot scared if that was a mouse. Yeah, that's the truth. All right, let's go back to where we're at. Here we go. And he came forth conquering and to conquer. This phrase just means he starts off with little power. He gets more power, more power, more power, more power, more power, more power. His power continues to grow. Then after 3.5 years, he's going to basically say, it's time for you to start worshiping me. Now, here's where verse 3 comes in. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. All right, Larry. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat upon it, it was given to take peace and from the earth, and that they should slay one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Let's start with this great sword. In verses 2 and 3, he's just got a bow. He's not ready to go to war yet. Now, he's got a sword. Now, the symbolism is, it's time to go to war unless you're with me. Either you worship me, you praise me, or you will die. Everybody get the picture? You see the red horse. Red for what? Blood. That's exactly right. That makes sense to you? I want to make sure that makes sense to you. This means, yes, this makes sense to me. Okay? I want to walk you through it, make sure you understand it. In today's world, as we sit right now, you do not have to die for your faith. You can accept Jesus Christ no matter where you're at. Now, let me say this. When I say that, I also have to admit to you, there are Christian people that are being killed around this world because of what they believe over in the Middle East. That's just a sign that Jesus is coming. Understand that? That's just a sign that he's coming. Understand this. As we sit right now, especially in this country, all you've got to do to accept Jesus Christ is believe in your heart. Understand that. You believe in your heart, you accept him as Lord and Savior, and that's what you do. When you do that and you're serious about it, you become a child of God, and you will never ever see this type of situation. If the rapture comes and you don't know Jesus, you're not living for Jesus, and you're left behind, I promise you, you're going to be reminded of the days that you heard the preacher talking about tribulation. Amen. All right, Larry, here we go. Oh, I'm on verse 5. I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. All right, little Larry, let's go. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a shilling, three measures of barley for a shilling, and the oil of the wine hurt thou not. In a few weeks, we're going to talk about this mark of the beast. You all know that's been under my teaching that those here that are left behind are going to have to take this mark, and we all know the number is 666. It's the number of a man. 777 is the number of God. Alright? Now, what this is outlining for us is that if you don't take the mark, one of the things he's going to do, because there may be some people out in the by areas and the farmlands and the mountains that maybe he can't quite get to destroy. So what he does is, he's going to starve you to death. Here's what's going to happen. Today, you know, if you have a big snowstorm or something comes up, you know, everybody goes to the grocery to get bread and milk. Understand that? I mean, they sell out of this faster than anything else. People want to have milk, they want to have bread. I don't know that I've quite understood why those two things go, but they do go, okay? Now, what's going to happen is, use it in our day and line, he's going to charge you a week's wages for a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread. If you make $500 a week, a loaf of bread is going to cost you $500. What would you pay for something if you were starving? What would you pay for it if you had the money? So if you got the mark of the beast, you walk in and you almost get it free. If you don't, you're going to have to pay and pay and pay. And then here is how the mind of the Antichrist works. I want to show you something. And the oil and wine hurt thou not. And y'all see, a lot of people have asked me. Let me break it down for you. in the day of John, old and wine were big in that part of the world. You had to have that for almost everything that you baked or cooked, and wine was just like the way we drink water today. Now, have you ever been tempted before? You go buy a car. You go in the showroom of a dealership. I mean, them things are shining. They got the best of the best on that showroom. You go in there, the tires are overhauled, it's clean to the hilt. I mean, it's just waiting for you to come in there and to buy it because it looks great. It's shiny, it really is pretty. And you're tempted all of a sudden to just go to one of those two vehicles or three vehicles because it's already detailed out. Sometimes they put trucks in there, sometimes they put sports cars in there, but they got usually the best of the best in these showrooms. And it's there for you to tempt you. Now, if you don't have the mark of the beast, here's what's going to happen. Not only are you going to have to pay through the nose just to get in to buy something, but guess what's going to be at the very front? That's why I don't hurt the wine and the oil, because the oil and the wine is going to be right there in the glass for you to see it. You're starving to death. You ain't had something to eat in a long time. And this wonderful Antichrist is going to put the two things that you need the most right in the front of the store. It would be like today if a snowstorm comes, it would ever down a building, the front door and the bread. Just to say, that's what I got to have. So what this is doing, the Antichrist, this is one mean preacher. Not only does he want to starve you, but he wants you to see everything that you're missing. Because you will not take the mark of the beast to be able to go in the store and to get it because you're starving. He wants you to know, how great is your God to go hungry for? See, if you'll worship me, you get what's in the store. Oh no, you want to worship God, you're going to have to die. That's the kind of God that loves you. Do you see how this is going to play out? This guy is mean. He don't play fair. He's going to tempt you with everything to say, I denounce God, I denounce Jesus, just give me something to eat. That's how it's going to play out. Do you see it? You got any question whatsoever? That's why he says, you know, the oil and the wine hurt thou not. In other words, we ain't going to sell out of that. We want you to see that as soon as you come in the store. Look right through the glass. You go shopping, they put the best dresses right in that glass. They want you to see that to get you to entice you to come in. Get the point? That's what this is all about. Give the Lord a hand of applause. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. Okay, Larry. And I saw and behold a pale horse, and he that sat upon it, his name was Death. And Hades followed with him. And there was given unto them the authority over the fourth parts of the earth to kill with the sword, and with famine, and with death, and by the wild beast of the earth. Again, this is an outline form. After we go through this horrific famine, as we get toward the last days of this time, of this 7-year tribulation, there are going to be people killed in the mass. They're going to find them, they're going to hunt them down, and they're going to kill them. Now, who are these people? These are people, and I've said many times in teaching this over the years, there will be people who will be saved during the tribulation period. They will be, but it's going to cost them their lives. They're going to be hunted down. They're going to be chopped up, killed, beheaded. Now, let me tell you something else. It's all going to be seen clear across the world by cable, satellite, because the Antichrist has to have that technology in place. You think if I'm sitting in my living room and I'm seeing people's heads cut off, people's arms cut off, people's saw asunder, people's hands being blown off, and I'm going to see that right on TV, it's not going to be filtered now. You're going to see it. No wonder people are going to run to get the mark of the beast. Because they'll be next. You're going to have to make a choice. If you wait till the tribulation time, a lot of people, and not everybody is going to die that accepts the Lord. We will explain this much later. You've heard me teach on this, but I will explain much later. But for the majority of the people, it's going to cost them their lives, and this is going to be cruel. This ain't just a simple gunshot in the head, put you out of your misery. They're going to want you to suffer. They're going to want you to hurt. They're going to want to see it on TV. They're going to try to scare the rest of the world. The Antichrist is going to say, you come worship me, or here's what you're going to look like. You're going to have a head. You're going to have no arms. You're not going to have any legs. That goes for your children, your wife, your parents. I don't care. Either you worship me or you die. I'll find you. I'll hunt you down, and I will kill you in spot. What are you going to do? You want to worship me, or you want to worship the so-called God? Yeah. That's how it will be played out. I don't know how to make that any plainer, folks. And we got a lot more teaching coming. This simply is an outline. And I'm not finished yet. We'll finish this up next week. I just got through half of it. But understand, folks, this is going to be the worst time in human history. I don't care what part of history that you look at, that you see. From thousands to thousands of people that are killed in wars across history, it will not be anything like what this is going to be like during this at last 3.5 years of this tribulation. I don't know how to make it any plainer. I don't know how to make it any straighter. You know, and believe me, we got people all across this globe that I can't scare no more. I don't know why. Because if you're lost, I hope I scare the pants off of you. I really do. But, you know, Satan has come across people. You can't even scare people anymore. They just live it like they got the rest of their lives ahead of them. And they ain't promised the next hour. I'm just telling you, it can happen now. You've got family like that. I've got family like that. I don't know what's going to take to wake some people up. But, folks, when this comes, oh, they're going to be awakened, all right. But then, too little, too late. All right?
Amen.
Stand with me. So we're going to bow and every eye is closed. As Michael begins to pray. Father, in the most blessed and holy name of Jesus, Father, we preach your word as powerful as we know how. We try to make it as clear as we can that God's people will understand it's wake-up time. It's wake-up time. If you're watching me by internet, I'm telling you right now, I hope that you truly understand the urgency of my voice, that you need Jesus and you need him today. If you're watching me, all you've got to do, no matter where you're at, whether it's daytime, whether it's dark, whether you're home, whether you're in jail, I don't care where you would be. If you're watching me on the internet today, all you've got to do is bow your head and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of forgiveness. I pray for that forgiveness. And Father, please, please, thank you for all that you've done for me. You mean that in your heart, you will become saved. You find you a good church home, and you get in it, and you stay in it. We need God's people in God's houses in these last days. To this congregation and to those whom we love, it's wake-up time. Jesus is coming. You don't want no family left behind. I'd rather see you make them mad than for them to be left behind. But God's people need to be in church. If not this church, they need to find them a church. They need to be in church and be in here every week. It is imperative that we understand God is coming for his people. Father, bless us. Watch over us. Anyone who needs a quiet time at this altar, we invite you to come. Thank you in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Would you come in the name of Jesus?